where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And today on the show, we have Andra Maria from Andra Maria Wellness, and she is a kinesiologist and mindset coach. And I am so excited to talk with her about how to make your dreams a reality, how to believe in yourself enough to live your dreams. I'm so excited to have you here, my love. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be chatting with you too.
So I would love to know first, you told me a little bit, like you kind of hinted at it before we spoke, that you have lived this. You've lived the transformation from not really believing in yourself and not thinking you could have the life of your dreams to now living it and like even dreaming bigger. So can you tell us what you were like when you were younger and maybe some of the limitations that you thought you had in your life and then the progression from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born in Romania and we moved over to Canada when I was 5 years old. So it was just myself and my mom and dad. And I watched them work like really, really hard. Like we had nothing. Like I had a photo of myself like standing in my bedroom as a little girl and all my toys fit on the windowsill. And I just like remember always thinking like, oh my God, like there's all these people and they have all these things. And, you know, Canada was like kind of like going to Disney World. Like we went to a toy store called Toys R Us. And I remember being like, oh my God, like this is amazing. But we couldn't really afford much. So I guess that's how we grew up. But I watched my parents work really, really hard to create a life for us and to like buy a home. And that was really inspiring for me to watch because it showed me that you can have nothing and you could create something. But my parents are the type who like, you know, work 9 to 5, corporate jobs. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all. But I think I got to a point where I was in my teenage years and definitely my early 20s where, you know, I had done all the same things. So they were like always like, go to uni, get a good job, you know, get a corporate job, get good benefits. Really, it's kind of a typical story these days. Mm-hmm. And I had ticked all those boxes, studied psychology, neuroscience, and behavior, was like, do I go on and become a psychologist or do I go on and do something else? And I decided to go work in PR and communications. And I got a job at a small agency.
I'm sorry. I just got to explain why I giggled at for no reason at that. Because it seems like every time I meet someone that I have an incredible connection with, they've either worked in PR or event management before they decided to open up to this world. It's like, how are all of my new friends just suddenly, yeah, it's crazy. So I just giggled at myself.
I think the universe like puts us in that role because they're like, if you're going to learn how to market yourself as an individual, you have to learn how to do PR and marketing. So go work there and then go do it for yourself. And that's definitely what I got out of it. Yeah. But I, you know, it was okay. Like it was just long, really long hours, as you probably know, full on, lots of clients that I wasn't necessarily aligned with. It was corporate. And I got to a point and I was like, in my early 20s, and I was like, why does my life feel flat? Why am I waking up every morning and I'm thinking, how is like this all life? Like I did all the stuff everybody told me to do, like to you know, I went to school, I got the job, I'm supposed to be like happy now. I'm like, hello life, like come on, give me everything, all my like rewards now. And it didn't come. And I started having thoughts like, well, maybe if I got really sick, if I got like cancer or something like that, then I would have an excuse because I would be like, well, I don't have to work then. Then I can finally go and like live the life of my dreams. I thought, okay, once you start having thoughts like that, that's a bit ridiculous. You need to do something different. So I then decided that, you know, something significant needed to change. I didn't have to wait till something was like life-threatening for me to have a shift. And I thought about, you know, it was the time when like Gabrielle Bernstein started coming up on the scene. And I remember reading May Cause Miracles like religiously and did all the activities in the book. And I loved it, but I can never see myself working in this industry. Like it was something that was so far-fetched. And it was like, every time the thought appeared in my mind, it was like, no. Why don't you have like a more normal dream, like something a little more settled? And that was just because I seriously did not believe in myself and that I could. And that was part of the problem of even like working in PR, where you always have to have like new ideas and speak out and, you know, go back and forth with people in meetings. I was like quiet, timid, you know, the idea of running my business didn't even cross my mind in my early 20s. I was like, there's no way, like that's for other people. That's definitely not for me. And from there, once I got to a stage where I was like, okay, something really, really needs to shift, I ended up quitting my job and just went off and traveled for 6 months with my husband. He quit his job too. And we did the whole like Southeast Asia and Europe thing. And during that time, I remember just being like so pulled towards finding my purpose and wanting to know what it was. But I still felt like I had no idea for the longest time until I actually moved to Melbourne, Australia. And then the pieces started falling together. But it's been like a really intense journey because like I said to you, I just had no self-belief, didn't think I could do it. And when people are listening to this and they hear somebody saying, it doesn't matter who it is, like, no, I didn't believe in myself. I remember I used to think that and I used to be like, yeah, but they did, but they really did because obviously they did it. So I'm like just telling everybody up there, I did not, like zero at all. And it's really been a journey. And I think because of all the personal development work that I've done, I've realized that I can create anything that I want. I can create my dream business. I can create my dream life. I can build everything that I want. And that's in my mind, step by step. And I think that's been so freeing for me. And that's why I'm so passionate about working with people and helping them see that they can do the same.
So was there like one time where you believed, like you thought, oh, that would be cool, and then you took just a small risk on yourself and it paid off and you're like, okay, maybe we could do a couple of other things, maybe other stuff could work? Was there one moment that really affirmed this shift in belief for you?
Let me think about that. I don't think it was one moment. I think it was a series of little things. So the first time I actually like seriously considered this career path, I was in a seminar and we had to write our mission statement. And I wrote down all that I can muster up was that I want to work with people to help them. And it was like the smallest thing. And I'm sitting there crying my eyes out. And the girl next to me is like, what? Why are you crying now? Like, this is not a part of the seminar where you cry. And I'm like, because I am so terrified that I don't think I can do this. Like, I actually don't. And that's the thing that I always say to people about dreams. It's like, once you admit to yourself what you want, it's so terrifying because you've just said out loud to somebody else, this is what I want. And every breath you take after that point, it's not going to be enough unless you try for that point. And that's why people feel so much stress and anxiety, because they do have those whispers and those moments of clarity, and then they shut that down really, really quickly. And that's why they feel so disconnected all the time. And I knew that that was happening for me in that moment. I knew I wrote it down. I had it out of my head on paper. I had spoken it out loud to somebody. And I knew that from that moment, I had to follow through on that, or I was going to get to my deathbed and I was going to be like, you just wasted your life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I got goosebumps when you said that. It's so true. I see it with so many of my clients. They're like, I just don't know what to do with my life. And it's so clear. Like if you ask them enough questions, they're like, oh, well, I love like sewing, you know, or whatever it is, whatever their passion is. I love this, but I could never make that. No, it just amazes me how they won't even allow themselves to say that it's their vision, because then you're right. Once you've said it, you can't like close up that can of worms again. So,
and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, go ahead, honey. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, and the more that you try to do it, the more distressed you feel. And it's like those people that you see, you know, 3 years down the road after having that moment, and they're still feeling the same way. And it's like, because you're not listening. You're just, you're breaking that promise to yourself, to your soul, to your desire, because you're not following through.
Yes. And I have such an example of that in my life at the moment. So I felt intuitively guided to transition out of my relationship. And then we've had, like, it's been 2 months and there have been times where I'm like, could we have made it work? And he's like, no, we can't. And so it's just gone like this beautiful exploration of all that we did share and all that we couldn't continue to share together. And my heart has gotten like more and more impatient with me during that process. And she's been like, no, you know, you need to really, really move forward now. And I'm like, I know, but it's just like, I'd still love to just hang out and watch TV with him tonight. No big deal. And my heart's like, no. And so we've done it. My heart and I have had a little, well, my heart and my mind and my desire for comfort and also my love for him have all had this little bit of a battle. But it becomes more and more, it's almost like I've gotten to the point where my heart is like, no. And like my mouth is saying something different to him. So he's like, do you want to go to the movies? I'm like, yeah, sure. No. And like, there's this huge disconnect between what I know as my highest self to be true, but what my human wants in that moment. And I think it's really funny, actually. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I always trust that what I say is divinely guided. I think it's really funny when people say, just follow what you feel is right. And I'm like, if I did that, I would be eating chocolate all day, every day. Like, I can't just follow what I desire and what I feel in that moment. It's got to be what your highest self, what your soul desires. That, like, and you know, a combination of human, we get to screw up sometimes, I think, but it does need to be the higher self and that vision, and they definitely pull you forward, don't they?
I agree, and I think you made such a valid point, because I think people think, and I'm one of those people that I used to think this, that once you get clear on your vision and your purpose, it's easy. And it's not easy if it's divinely guided. I never think it's easy. I think it's the most challenging. Yeah. Like, I sometimes feel like my body is being physically torn apart. And I'm like, why do I feel this way if it's so right? And I know this is the way that I'm supposed to be doing things. But I think that's a misconception. And people think that, oh, once I figure out my purpose, I'm just going to be guided. It's just all going to show up and it's all going to be easy. And yes, there are moments when you do feel like that, absolutely, and they're beautiful. But then there's also moments where you feel lost all over again and confused. And you feel that stress, that anxiety, but it doesn't mean it's wrong if you don't feel that way. You know, similar to what you were saying, it's hard. It's hard to listen.
Yeah, and we need to honor that we chose a human experience in this time as well. And so I've really honored my human in this. So if, like, my human wants to cry and my soul is like, but that's okay, you're always going to be connected. And I'm like, no, I'm going to cry in this moment. That's okay. I'll give you 2 songs. You can cry and then we can go do something else. And I think it is so important to notice that, because one of the things I'm most passionate about talking about at the moment is how we can over spiritualize and almost, we just put this path, this spiritual path and purpose path and serving, a path of service, in one light where if we're on track, it's all going to feel good. And so if I didn't feel good, I was thinking I was off track. And that was like, that's the biggest shift that's come around for me in the last 6 months or so, is realizing that those moments that you were talking about where you're questioning things and you feel lost, and maybe you spend a couple of days in your pajamas in bed, and maybe you don't even shower in those couple of, like, you know, maybe you cry for 2 days straight and you don't know why. That was my weekend. have those moments, like, I think the spiritual path is about getting to those moments and being in your bed crying and going, this too is on the path, and you are always on the path. And that, I think, is a huge key. I'm glad.
Yeah, I cannot agree with that more. And it's in those moments when I feel like I'm like, everything is upside down. Mm-hmm. One of my mentors always says, transformation happens. Sorry, no, I got it wrong. Chaos is the precursor to transformation. So you know when your life is an absolute mess, you're undergoing a massive transformation. So I'm always going like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I used to be like, can we rush through this now and get to the end? But I've had, you know, March was a big month for me. And I just, the whole month felt like I was in a washing machine. It was just a mess. Like everything was all over the place. I was so busy doing a million things at once. And I was just like, I know that it's kind of like a level of being reborn all over again. So it's, I think it's really important to sit with it, like you said, and not try to escape it and not try to be like, well, now I'm everything. I have to give up everything.
Mm. And how in those moments do you still keep believing in yourself?
It's not always easy.
I'm so glad you said that. I was like, are you going to admit that sometimes in those moments that you don't?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Ask my husband.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm very open in the fact of saying I have days when I'm like, maybe I just cannot do this. But I also don't trust everything that I think. And I know that if I'm having a day where I'm having those thoughts, I'm not like, oh my God, that's it. It's the end of the world. I just like, kind of like you said, I'm like, today, I'm just not going to believe in myself. And the moment I kind of surrender to it and allow myself to just be normal human being, as I call it, I think sometimes when like those of us who work in the PD space put so much pressure on ourselves to always have it figured out.
Yeah.
And I definitely am like that sometimes. But the moment I surrender and I say, I'm just going to be human. I'm just going to doubt myself. I'm going to be lost this week, terribly lost and confused. And then I just feel lighter and I get moments of clarity.
Mm. Meet yourself where you're at, and that's how you can help yourself back out. Yeah.
Yeah. But another thing with that is I have people around me as well that do believe in me. And I think one of the best things you can do for somebody is believe in them when they can't believe in yourself. So having somebody that says, you've got this, like that makes the biggest difference to me. Cause I'm like, okay, that means that they can see something that I can't see. And that grounds me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so you just put your hand on your heart and say thank you in those moments.
When it feels like chaos.
Yeah.
Well, not all day. There's moments. I have a morning practice that I do every day that involves meditation and gratitude journaling. Mm-hmm. And I have a rule that when I'm doing my gratitude journaling, I have to write 10 things, no less. And they have to be things that happen within the past 24 hours so I can always see the blessings throughout my day. So I can't be like, oh, I'm grateful for this thing that happened like 6 months ago. It's like, yeah, but that's no good for you right now. Focus on now. So that really helps me as well.
Awesome. And I saw one of your videos, I think it's the one that inspired me to connect with you actually, where you talked about the benefit of not believing in yourself. And you said something like, when you have those doubts, that it makes you then, like it inspires you then to go maybe get some more knowledge or get a qualification or to do other things that continue to build on yourself. Can you share a bit more about that?
Yes, 100%. I think that was another big thing that helped unleash me, because I was always so stuck on why I had such low self-worth
and why I was always doubting myself.
Like, set me free.
He's unleashed.
Because I was like, always like, why are other people so confident? Why can't I be like that? And then I got that if I was already super confident, like, so for example, when I started my business, if I was super confident, I would be like, yeah, you should come and see me. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be as caring and as nurturing with a lot of my clients as I was, especially back then. So I think one of the best questions you could ask yourself when you're going through it is like, what's the benefit of me doubting myself? So, you know, right now in my life, I'm going through a few transitions as well. Like I was saying, I'm rejigging the way I'm doing my videos and thinking about it. So the fact that I'm doubting myself means I'm actually thinking things through and I'm not staying stagnant, which is a massive plus, of course. Does that help?
Totally. Yeah. So in terms of when you're in those moments, oh my gosh, actually I need to share this. So one of my spiritual mentors, because you know, I look all together, and if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I'm not, because I share lots of like lots of crying moments. But when I'm with my spiritual mentor, like, there's the times when I will break down and I'll be like, I don't know, it's just too hard. Like, it's my safe space. And so I have, like, was with my spiritual mentor and sharing everything. And she said that everything is love. Everything is an act of love and divine love, and everything is on purpose again. And like, stuff I know and stuff I share, but when you're in those moments, it doesn't feel that easy.
You need to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll just pay you to repeat the same stuff that I tell my clients, please. If you could do that, that'd be great. And she's awesome. She's definitely helping me grow my abilities as well. But she said to me that I could ask myself, if this was love, what would it be showing up to teach me? And so I feel that's a great question in terms of not believing in yourself. If what would that be showing up to teach me? A, it gives you a reason, like an opportunity to believe in yourself more and to choose yourself more and to choose to believe in you. And B, it gives you an opportunity to keep growing and learning and making sure that you are giving the best of you to the world so that you're continually expanding. So, yeah, I love that interpretation of it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point you made, that when you're feeling like you're doubting yourself, you're reaching out for help. Mm. And that's another massive benefit, that when you feel self-doubt, you often have people that believe in you, like I said before, that when you don't believe in yourself, and that's really powerful as well. So there's always another side to the self-doubt.
Yeah. And I can feel the podcast listeners right now, they're always sitting like a circle to the right of me as I do the interviews. I can feel them.
Yeah.
There's like a bubble of energy over there. And I can feel some of them, not all of them, but some of them, and maybe parts of each one anyway, that are feeling like, yes, but these are two women who believe in themselves. And they're talking about believing in yourself. I can feel that this, like, you know how you said when we first started talking that you used to listen to people and be like, yeah, but you did believe in yourself. What would you want to say to those people who are like, yeah, that's really good for you, and like, I'm not trying to, like, and I feel like it's not even, I'm not trying to play the victim. I'm not trying to say, oh, yeah, it's good for you, but not for me. It's like, actually, I feel like I can't. This one feels like it's really not doable. What would you say to those people? I know it's a general thing. How do you tell everyone? But, you know, to the best of your ability.
Yeah. Well, if it was a person sitting in front of me, I would probably yell at them. And I would probably be like, that's what you need to stop, because that is exactly what is getting in your way. And I cannot come into your brain and do that for you. It's kind of like a decision that you have to summon all the strength you possibly can. You have to surrender. You have like do whatever you need to do to find the strength within yourself to decide that you are willing to believe. Just be willing to believe in yourself. Because if you're so stuck on the story that I'm not going to and I just don't, you're going to just keep doing that forever. And that's one of the decisions that I made for myself. It was, okay, fine. Maybe I'm just going to listen to a podcast like this one, and they're saying that they once didn't and now they do. So maybe it's there for me too. Maybe let me just try. Let me be willing. And then from there, reach out for help. Work with somebody. Work with somebody that can see you 5 years from where you are now, 10 years from where you are now. And that's going to help you immensely too. There's so many amazing people that you've interviewed on this podcast. So they have a wide selection. There are no excuses. Mm. I'm ruthless.
I love that. And
It's from a place of so much love, because I needed somebody to be that blunt with me, because otherwise I would have spun into that whole, oh, I like really, I can't do it, circle and cycle or whatever you want to call it. I needed somebody to say to me, literally, stop that. Stop. Mm,
yeah. And as you were speaking, I could see almost, like, I love how you said, just be willing to believe. Like, if you could just start to look for any possible reason that maybe you could believe in yourself today. Like, if you just open the door, the willingness is so important. And I almost saw, as you said that, this, like, almost saw, it's just like my, I did see just inside of my head, you know, I saw this little version. So imagine like a little version of Kiara or whatever your name is. I saw this little version of me who doesn't believe in herself. And I was like, what if I could believe in you? this little version? What if, like, we make it this, like, external part of us? So it's not us that doesn't believe in us, but I saw this little girl and I was like, I can believe in you. Like we find it so much easier to believe in other people and their dreams somehow. Of course you can do it. Like, my mom is the best one for that. So that's why I actually did grow up believing in myself a little bit more, because she always believed in me, just not herself. So good at believing in other people. So what if you had this little girl or this little boy inside of you who didn't believe, and you're like, I can believe in you. Like, it's okay. I've got you. I like that.
Love that. I just got goosebumps, and I love that because one of my biggest teachers is my 7-year-old self, and I ask her to make most of my decisions in my business and in my life. And I'm just like, what would you do? And the answer that comes back is always like so simple and spot on. And I'm like, yeah, totally. And I just picture myself like being 7, doing handstands against a wall. And like, that was life back then.
I love that. I bet she's a lot more playful and fun than like serious adult version of you would be. Yeah.
And she believed in the magic of life. Like I said, we didn't have much. So me sitting there like playing with, I'm not saying like we didn't have much all my life, because I definitely ended up getting more toys and all that stuff. But, in the moments when I didn't have many toys and I'm just like sitting there playing with my mom and my magical world, I think that's where I get a lot of my intuition, my manifesting, whatever you want to call it from. My ability to dream, that's probably a better word.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I feel like just you speaking that then was a transmission, and I feel like I got more of that ability to dream in like that beautiful childlike wonder-like way that anything is possible, because that's what kids believe, anything is possible, and they just go about and like imagine it. And that is the secret to manifesting anyway. If you just like imagine that you're already living it, you got it.
Exactly. There you go. That's a really good point. It, you know, as kids, we do it amazingly. I wasn't able to manifest a real life Santa Claus, but I really did believe in Santa. I was devastated when I found out Santa wasn't real.
Oh, don't let your kids listen to this podcast, anyone. No, yeah. They did. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah. I love that, and I really felt that as a transmission. So I invite anyone listening to allow that to be a transmission for you too, that childlike wonder, like just anything is possible magic from children was just transmitted to us, so I'll take it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I used to do when I felt like I didn't matter, and mine was particularly to men, but to the world, is every night for, I reckon, 3 to 6 months, every single night I wrote in my journal how I mattered that day, how I showed myself I mattered, how I mattered to the, like how I noticed that I mattered to the men around me in particular, and how I mattered to the world. And I needed to do that to see there was even another path, to help me rewire my brain in that way. Were there things like that that you did that really helped you to rewire from not believing in yourself to believing in yourself?
I'm trying to think if there's anything particular that I did. I don't know, to be honest. I can't say that I did something every single day, like a ritual like that. Mm. I think perhaps going off the back end of Gabby B's stuff, like doing a lot of surrendering. Mm. And, what's the thing she always says from A Course in Miracles? Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to whom? I would say that, and I still say that every single morning. And I think it also landed that it wasn't all my responsibility. Like, if this divine thing obviously put this immense desire within me, I was always like, well, then you're gonna help me with it, because I clearly cannot believe in myself right now. So you are gonna work through me, and we're gonna figure this out together. And I think surrendering every morning helped me with that, and it still helps me with that, because sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my god, this is too big. And once I surrender, then I feel like it's not all on my shoulders anymore. And I feel literally lighter in my body going through my day.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you just shared that. So even last week, I think it was, I was talking to my business coach, who's very spiritual as a business coach. And I was talking with her about a conversation and I was like, I don't know, I just didn't feel like I wasn't sure I believed in this new container that I was discussing with someone. And she said, where did that idea for that container come from? And I said, divine inspiration. And she said, so then whose responsibility is it to even share about that container? Like, the divine gifted that to you. It's just your responsibility to show up as the person willing to discuss that container and let the divine come through you. And maybe in that conversation, maybe all you needed was to learn something, or maybe they need the container and that's what their like divine guidance is coming to you for. It's just getting out of our own way. So I have a massive vision that I downloaded from the divine and it's not my responsibility. Like, it, so to me, that vision is a certainty. It is inevitable that that happens because it wasn't me. I didn't pick it. So if the divine wants me to do it, I'm just going to, like, you're just going to have to take me there. And I love yes. that because that actually is where so much of my self-belief comes from, is that it's not me that has to do it. It's just me that has to follow the steps. So one step in front of the other, I'm going to be guided. And it's not like, so I reckon if we were given our 30-year vision that all of us would just pike out now because that seems way too big to believe. Like, do you think Tony Robbins 30 years ago knew where he was going to be now? Like, that's insane. Maybe he did, but it's a big gap. And so I just, like, we're given at each step, we're given just what we need to know for that next step. Just like this, maybe we have a conversation that challenges us. Know that that was perfect so that you then learnt this next thing. And all of that can either be seen as the reasons why you can't believe in yourself and the challenges that come up, or they can be seen as the divine giving you exactly what you need to get to that vision. I love that. It's not even our job. Just,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's our job to show up and to be receptive and to be open and trust. And, you know, some people will be like, well, that's so cheesy, or that's, it makes it sound easy. It's not, it's going back to what we were talking about. It's not that it's always easy. It's still challenging because you have to show up in different ways. But I think when you know that you have something greater than you holding your hand and having your back, it makes it easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's like so much. I feel like this podcast is spacious and there's so much time, but there are key nuggets that have already been downloaded that people can go away and change their whole life with in just this small amount of time. It's incredible. I'm so excited that you're here to talk about this. Now, can you tell us in your kinesiology stuff? So kinesiology stuff, because I don't really know exactly what happens there. I only had my first kinesiology session maybe like 2 months ago and I was blown away. This man is so incredible at, like, he asked me a question about my former partner and I was like, it was something like, do you want him to be happy now? Or it's like something like awkward that you don't want someone else to know the answer of before you do. And I was like, stop it. You'll need some privacy. Okay. Cause they just, so kinesiology, can you explain it for the people that are listening? Cause I feel like it's a great tool on your journey as well. So I'd love for them to know about it if they haven't heard before.
Yeah. So in really short, we do something called muscle testing to figure out what's going on subconsciously. So the first time it was explained to me, it was like, picture a Google search for your body and mind. It's like when you just don't know what's wrong and you just want to type into Google what is wrong and all the possible things come up. And the thing that's stressing you out the most is going to be the first search result. So that's a basic way of explaining it. But oftentimes I have people that come to me and they're like, oh, I don't know why I feel this way, or I feel so stuck, or I feel so sad and I feel unmotivated. And they're like, I just want to get my inspiration back. And it's like, okay, well, let's figure out what's going on subconsciously. And it's often something that's so different than like everything that we've talked about sitting down before we start the session. And it's really, every session is different. I really like it because it's so direct. And I found that, like I spoke to you before, I study psychology and neuroscience and behavior. So my path was like, okay, should I go down and become a psychologist? And nothing wrong with psychologists if anybody's listening to it, but I just found it was a bit too rigid for me. It was a bit too much like, this is the grounds that you have to play with. And, you know, there's regulations and rules. And I felt like I needed something a little bit more liberal where I can just kind of like do whatever needs to be done. And when I had my first kinesiology session, and again, within an hour, she was able to tell me like five things that were going on for me subconsciously that didn't even realize. I was like, this stuff is awesome. So it's really good to get down to the root of stuff. You have to be ready for it though. And I also want to say I work really differently than most people do with kinesiology, because normally you can do like a lot of nutritional stuff or like pain management stuff, like chiropractors use kinesiology. I focus solely on the mindset stuff, so more of the emotional stuff that's going on. And it's powerful. And yes, we have a lot of conflicting beliefs and sabotages. Like money is such a big area for people. It's like, I'm, you know, the people come to me and they're like, I want to attract more abundance in my life. And if we test up, I want to attract more abundance in my life. The body's going, no, I don't, because they believe that money is either dirty or they feel guilty or they feel like they would leave people behind. So we need to clear all that stuff energetically. And that's where I come in and I combine coaching with energetic stuff, because we need to get it on both energetic level, but also the conscious level. And shift things so they can move forward. It's really been one of the things that's helped me so much in my life get through all the emotional clutter that I had been carrying.
And I can see how if you went there and you're like, yeah, I believe in myself, or I'm starting to, and then the kinesiologist was like, no, but they're not just like, no, they're like, no, and here's why not, and then we can do something about it. That awareness is so key. Yeah
And sometimes it's like you can't clear it, and then now you have to go back to a certain age. So we go back, you know, in my second session, just so I'm not general, age 13 tested up, and it was a session around me feeling confident and worthy, and it was like age 13, and she was like, what were you so disgusted with when you were a teenager? And I was like, what? And then all of a sudden I burst into tears, and it was all like about stuff with like ex-boyfriends and stuff, and I was just like, oh, like yes, there was like emotional clutter that I had been holding on to, but I seriously had not thought about in like 10 years prior to that.
Yeah. And my kinesiologist took me through a process and told me about a past lifetime where I was one of many wives and I wasn't chosen because I couldn't have kids. And I was like, whoa. And I do past life regressions. Like I can go into people's Akashic records and do it intuitively, but I've never seen someone do it. He was like, didn't really believe in what I did very much, and was telling me about my past life through muscle testing. I'm like, how do you, like, it's so weird. And it's so cool because it's verifiable. So you can see in your body how your body responds. Like as the, is it patient or client? You can watch that. So for people who, like, maybe for your mom or your dad who are like, I don't know if I believe in any of that woo-woo stuff, they can physically see their body respond in different ways after things have been done with kinesiology. It's so cool like that.
Yes, it's amazing. But recently I started just doing it over Skype with people, which is probably even more woo-woo than normal kinesiology, which is still, I guess, considered very woo-woo. And I'm just testing on myself. And then I get my clients to like hold certain points or visualize certain things to help shift their energy. And I'm finding it's, you know, just as effective and amazing, and they feel a difference in their body. For me, it's very much in every session, I'm like, okay, I get that you're saying this thing, but how does that feel in your body? Like, I get you're saying you believe in yourself, but how do you feel in your body when you just say that statement? And when people tune into their body and they're like, yeah, no, it feels like tight, constricted. So we need to shift that energy, and it works. It's really cool, and I feel like blessed to have worked with people from Canada, from the States, you know, from all over Australia, and bring this element of kinesiology into their home, because growing up in Canada, I had no idea it even existed. Like it was so foreign to me, because kinesiology in Canada is like completely different. Same name, but it's more like what you study if you want to become a gym teacher.
Oh, okay. That's
really weird. It's really weird. Like I feel like I need to have a new name for it, because it's just, it doesn't match up.
Okay. So what are some other things that you have found really powerful going from not believing in yourself, living the script, to living a life that is what you dream of, and knowing when you dream something that you can then create it?
So one of the things that I also do with clients is called equilibrations, and that was taught to me by one of my mentors. So essentially what we're doing in an equilibration is we're folding a lopsided perception on top of itself. So a lot of people think that they get that the past had to happen for them to make them who they are. So for example, somebody could be like, oh, well, I had like, you know, a mean father, and I get that that made me stronger, and I get that that helps me now, but they're still really pissed off at the fact that they had that mean father, and you could see it in their voice, and you could hear the hurt in them, and you could feel it. So what we do in this process is we showed them why they had to choose that mean father, like why that was divinely placed into their life, and there is no other way that they, that could have happened for them. To the point, like when I finish a session with a client, they say, if I had a magic wand, what would you change? And they're going, nothing, absolutely nothing. And I'm like, tell me, like, what would you change about your father? Like, tell me what, how would you want him to be? And they're like, no, nothing, nothing. I'll keep it all the same. Cause they get that it was such an important part of their life. So when I first went through this process, I worked on my mom, and I remember I was just stuck in a perception about her. And to be able to see that there was another side to things, it like blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, like if I was wrong about this, then how many other things have I been wrong about in my life? And I realized that there is literally two sides to everything, and everything is so divinely guided, but you need to, like, I hate to say this on a podcast because I know it's general, but it's like, you need to go through the process to really get to that point. It can't, it's not something that it's, you know, you can just come up with on your own.
And it's one of the things that I get all of my clients to do, is to go back and look at their life and look at the things that they thought turned out badly, and then write about, like, until they can't see any other option, just keep writing, stream of consciousness writing, until they understand why it had to happen. But I can see how kinesiology would be amazing for that process, like, and make sure that you integrate it at a full body energetic level versus just a conscious level. Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is where we, so I've seen people who believed they weren't good enough, and then I've seen them do certain processes and their mind now doesn't believe that they're not good enough, but deep down somewhere, like, so they like refuse to believe that they have this belief about not being good enough, but deep down they're still playing out this belief about not being good enough. And it's because I think we can get even sneakier with our ego sometimes as we get along the personal development and spiritual development journey, and our ego like hides from us. And so yeah, like as we get smarter, it gets smarter. It doesn't want to leave us. It wants to stay because it thinks it's protecting us, and so it hides things more. And so I can see how going from consciously changing your beliefs to on an energetic level, and our energetic level is what creates our reality, when we can change it at that level, that it becomes really powerful in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's also layers. So it doesn't mean that like once you work through one layer of not believing in yourself, it's not going to show up in a different way, because it always does. There's always, always, always more layers.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I have to remind myself that what I believe in, like where I believe in myself now, is different to where I believed in myself like a year or two ago. And I feel like, you know, say Oprah, for example, may have believed in herself, and then she got to like $1 million, and then she was like, I believe in myself up to $1 million, but she doesn't realize she's got that belief. And then, you know, then she can go to 10 million. And we've got these like, I don't know that we just go, I believe in myself for everything, always, ever again. It's layers of unwrapping. And when we get to the next stage, then life shows us what the next thing is to unwrap.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point.
So, okay, last, what if you could share anything with someone who wants to make their dreams come true right now, just before we finish up, what would it be?
I would say, number one, surrender and decide that you are going to make your dreams come true. Like, it's, again, it's that inner decision of, I will do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know what the next step is, but I'm going to surrender and make a pact with the universe that I am ready. That's number one. And then number two is find somebody, whether it's through a book, through a mentor, through a coach, like anybody that really resonates with you, that when you hear them speak, you get goosebumps, you get tears of inspiration. That's how you know that they have something for you and they have a message for you and they can pull you through to that next stage. And I only say that because I know if I tried to do everything that I'm doing now by myself and I didn't, you know, do all my PD work beforehand and I didn't have my support system, I don't think I would be, to be honest. I really just genuinely don't think I would be. I needed, not everybody does, but I needed somebody to pull me through. And I think it's okay to ask for help and to be like, okay, I'm ready. Show me the next step.
And I didn't believe in myself until I had a business coach who believed in me. And also until I believed in myself enough to invest in the business coach. So even just yes. The choice to seek some support and invest in yourself in that way shows that you're telling yourself, I believe in you enough to go out and get this business coach.
Yeah. Actually, do you mind if I share a really quick story about that?
We'd love for you to share. Yeah.
So the first time I really invested in myself was a seminar and it was 2.5 days and it was about $2,500 at the time. And I had never made that kind of investment in myself before. It was like foreign to me. It was just recently, 3 years ago. And I remember going to the seminar and I had like, it was like a free workshop thing. And then you sign up to the seminar. And I heard my mentor speak and I'm like crying tears of inspiration. And there was a part of me that's like, you need to do this. This is the first step. And I was so terrified, but I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to spend the money. And I paid the money. A couple months later, seminar came, was amazing. Like, I've done all their seminars now. But the day after the seminar, this is creepy, I was on Skype with my parents and they were like, your grandfather who passed away like 10 years ago, my grandma who's in Romania sold a random piece of land that like I didn't even know existed. And they're like, so you got a small inheritance. So we just deposited $2,500 into your account. And I was like, oh, are you serious? And it just gave me goosebumps because my grandpa was always the type who encouraged my parents to move to Canada. He encouraged all of us to follow our dreams. And that was his way of saying like, little girl, you are on the right path. This is exactly where you're meant to be doing. So it was really, really beautiful. So I always say to people like, invest in yourself and you will be surprised of how the money shows up back into your life.
Yeah. It happened to me as well. The first time I ever sent $1,000 and I had to ask my dad for the money and I didn't even like my dad very much. So I was like, why do I have to ask you? And I think within 3 days I had my first ever client and it was $1,000 exactly. So yeah, it's incredible.
That's just amazing.
Every time I've done it, like, every time I've taken the leap, I've received that abundance. And I'm so not a fan of taking the leap if it's going to put you into a lack mentality. I think you need to focus on abundance and loving yourself and feeling free and all those sorts of things. But if you can do it, if you can find a way to do it and it not like cut into what are you going to eat that week. Although I've seen people, like one of my clients invested in a program with me for $2,000. When she gave me her first $100 deposit, she gave me the $100 note in her purse that, you know, those like how people hold a $100 note to feel abundant in their purse. She'd been holding it for like a year or 2 years or something. She gave me that and she said, I do not know what I'm going to do this week, but I know that I meant to give you this money. And that next week she made $10,000. So it's like incredible how it happened.
I think that's so key because once I spent that money, I remember thinking I have never felt more wealthy. And it was because I hadn't, like, wealth now to me is being able to invest in yourself and being able to acknowledge that you're worth that much. But in my mind before, wealth meant like a specific number in your bank account. So yeah, it has to come from that energy of like, this is what I'm meant to be doing, not like, oh my God, I'm going to like go freak out now for a month.
Yeah, this is what I'm meant to be doing, and the divine will hold me in that, and I will always be supported. Yeah, that's better. Oh my God, that was such an inspiring story for you to finish on. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Now, if you would like to come and work with you and maybe even do that equilibrium thing, which sounds amazing, how do they find you? Or like even just watch your videos, how do they find you?
Yes. Yeah, so my website's AndraMariaWellness.com. And then I have a YouTube channel, just youtube.com/AndraMariaWellness. I'm basically Andra Maria Wellness everywhere on Instagram. So that's the best way to find me. If you just Google that, you'll stumble upon me some way.
Awesome. So Andra is spelled A-N-D-R-A, and then Maria is how you would expect Maria, and then wellness. Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, gorgeous one. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
My pleasure.
So thank you everyone for listening. I have been so inspired by this episode, so I hope that you have as well. As always, I am so grateful that you are committed enough to yourself to show up and listen to this podcast and to even be willing to believe that you can believe in yourself. If you feel like this podcast has helped you to just open the door, even a crack, into more belief in yourself and more belief in your dreams, I would love for you to share this podcast, please, because when you share, you are making a difference simply by sharing it with the people that you love, and you're making the difference to the people that you love. So it's like a win-win, you know? And if you would like to continue the conversation and to be able to talk more about this sort of stuff and to be supported by our tribe of lightworkers who are also wanting to show up as the best version of themselves in the world, then please go to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising. And if you're listening on iTunes, feel free to give us a 5-star review and tell people why they should listen, because that is always very much appreciated. Thank you so much. And Andra and I are now going to go over to do our secret episode. So if you would like access to the secret episode, and I'm so excited to hear behind the scenes of Andra's life, because she's changed so much. So how did she do it? What were the daily things that she did to make sure she got there? So you can head over to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret to get access to Andra's secret episode and all of the other secret episodes that I've done in the past as well. Thank you again so much for listening. Thank you, Andra, and I'll see you at the secret episode.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.